The next president gets to choose new agency leadership starting in January, but it's the career workforce that'll bring them up to speed. Agency transition documents also help prepare new political hires for their new jobs. Chris Liu is the Deputy Secretary of Labor. As part of Federal News Radio's special report, Tracking the Transition, Liu tells Federal News Radio's Jory Heckman what new leaders need to learn before calling the shots.
It's not only providing what is going on now and what some ideas of our future proposals, future initiatives are, but how we got to this point. It's level setting. And it's important to understand that new agency leadership, it varies in terms of their familiarity with the issues, their familiarity with the departments. There's no substitute for having worked in a department as to understanding some of the opportunities and challenges there. So there's, in the first instance, it's level setting what the mission of this agency is, what initiatives, what changes have occurred over the previous 8 years, and then what some of the current issues going forward are. You know, we structure our paper, our briefing materials, as I suspect other agencies are as well, in terms of the type of materials that an incoming secretary needs to have, and along with the leadership team around him or her. Different from what the briefing materials are for, let's say, an assistant secretary in a department. In the first instance, you obviously have to prepare a secretary for a confirmation hearing and some of the immediate challenges and decisions that will face him or her in those first 30, 60, 90 days. That's really at a much higher level than, let's say, an assistant secretary at the Department of Labor who handles OSHA, where that person really needs to understand in granular details the workings of OSHA, but probably doesn't need to know about other broader departmental issues and challenges, at least in the first instance. So it's a bifurcated approach.
One other thing I want to discuss is with politicals, certainly they have a different timetable than a lot of the career workforce. Careers, of course, can have decades of experience in an agency. Meanwhile, a political hire at best has 4 years in administration, but sometimes they might leave earlier than that. So how do we square the agency goals of someone who's been there for quite some time versus someone who might be there for a limited time and might have a shorter span or scope of what things will look like?
You've put it well. It can be a tension, or it can just be a balancing act between the career leadership that has institutional history, understands how the department works, understands what doesn't work, versus the political leadership, which may not have that institutional history, but has a greater sense of what the incoming president's policy agenda goals are, may bring in outside experiences from whether it's state and local government, the private sector. And I think that creative tension is a good thing. Change is good. It's always good to have new perspectives and new approaches. It's important for political leaders to come in with a desire to shake things up a bit, to try things in a different way. And it's equally good for career leaders to say, hey, let's tell you how that worked in the past, or that's a great idea, but maybe you should think about it this way, or here's some things you ought to consider, some challenges that might impede progress. I think that's a good, healthy dynamic to have in the federal government.
There's another key of this, which is continuity of government. There was, of course, a deputy secretary before you, and there'll be a deputy secretary after you. So I have to wonder, you know, what level of conversation or dialogue is exchanged between one political to another? Did you get a lot of information or advice from the person you succeeded, or are there any tips and tricks that you'd like to pass along to your successor?
Well, it is critically important to sit down with your predecessor, and I would argue not only your immediate predecessor, but your all previous predecessors, as many as you can find along the way. Prior to this job, I was at the White House as the White House Cabinet Secretary. Before I took that job, I sat down with the three previous White House Cabinet Secretaries, actually the four previous White House Cabinet Secretaries, two Republican, two Democrat. In this job as Deputy Secretary, I'm fortunate to be close friends with my immediate predecessor, Seth Harris, but of the seven previous deputy secretaries, I sat down and had conversations with six out of those seven. Because in terms of the challenges of these jobs, there's nothing particularly partisan about what some of those challenges are, and it's helpful just to get the perspective of people who have done these jobs before. It's useful to have them on speed dial because as I always say, I guarantee whatever challenge I face, they faced in the past, and they've been a valuable resource, both Democratic and Republican, in helping me manage those challenges.
When we talk about advancing agency goals or coming through with new accomplishments to meet, one critical part of that is employee morale. And so I have to wonder, especially with the Labor Department, which has in recent years become a most improved department, what can agencies do to turn things around? I imagine you guys have some really great lessons learned to possibly share there.
I'm glad you asked about that. You know, the Department of Labor, we are at the Department of Labor, we are proud to have been the most improved large federal agency 2 years in a row. We've went from number 17 in the rankings to number 10 to number 8. And we're not going to rest until we get to number one. But to do that, it has required a sustained commitment from the leadership here at the department, starting with the Secretary of Labor, Tom Perez, who's made this his highest internal priority in terms of improving employee engagement. And it's not only because we as the Department of Labor should be concerned about the welfare of our own employees. He thinks it just makes good business sense. And this is the case that I would make to any incoming leadership and in any federal department. The truth is, we're all going to hope for higher budgets. We're all going to hope for an ability to hire more people. But given the fiscal realities that we live in, it is likely that we will not be able to add significant numbers of new employees. And so your ability to do your mission, your agency's mission, is really dependent upon your employees giving more, your employees being more effective, being more efficient, being more engaged. And that helps you, the agency mission. It's good for the employees, but it's certainly good for the agencies as well. This is really one of those game changers that I think, you know, we at the Department of Labor can attest that we are as busy as we have ever been, and employee morale is as high as it has ever been. So it's important to show folks that you can work hard and still enjoy what you're doing. And I think it's a testament to career federal employees. They're working in these agencies throughout government because they believe in the mission of the agency. And your ability to engage with them, get their thoughts, help them feel part of what you're trying to accomplish will ultimately be good for the department.
Of course, you know, as administrations come and go, budgets go up, they go down, projects come and go. For the typical rank and file labor employee, from this administration to the next one, how much can they expect to change at their day-to-day responsibilities?
Look, I understand the anxiety that exists in a lot of parts of the federal government about what a presidential transition means for people's day-to-day experiences. But I would say, and I say this to our folks here at the Department of Labor, for the overwhelming majority of people in the federal government, what their job is on January 21st of 2017 will not be any different than what it was January 20th, 2017. Here at the Department of Labor, we're still going to be training people for jobs, helping people find jobs. We're still going to be protecting people in the workplace and ensuring that they are paid the wages that they've earned and that they come home safe and sound every night. And so whether you're at VA and you're helping to provide health care, or whether you're at the Department of Transportation and ensuring that buses and trains and airplanes run on time, that's the business of government. And that doesn't change regardless of who the president is. Now, there are obviously different policy directions. There are different priorities that will eventually in some ways shift how people do their jobs. But the vast majority of what happens in government isn't partisan. It's just about serving the American people, and that doesn't change from administration to administration.
Chris Liu is Deputy Labor Secretary, speaking with Federal News Radio's Jory Heckman. Tomorrow, in part two of their interview, Liu describes how career workers help bring a new president's policy agenda to life. Read Jory's story and share this interview with colleagues. Go to federalnewsradio.com/Federal Drive and click Share with Friends. Transition teams for Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton are already planning their administrations with federal agencies, each presuming they'll win, of course. Chris Liu headed the Obama-Biden transition project before becoming Deputy Secretary of Labor. As part of Federal News Radio's special report, Tracking the Transition, Liu tells Federal News Radio's Jory Heckman how a campaign really pivots to transition planning after Election Day.
An increasing amount of attention is paid towards transition planning. Now, obviously, the priority of the campaign and of the candidate is to win the election, but both because of a couple pieces of legislation that have been passed in 2010 and 2016, which mandate transition planning, as well as the sense that, you know, it is a good practice before you take over the largest organization in the world to have spent some time thinking about it. Both campaigns have transition operations up and running. They have met with the White House, and they are beginning to staff up and gather information and plan, and that's a good thing.
Over time, these transitions, they seem to take a little bit longer. There's more being considered about it. With your role in all of this, are there any real big takeaways or any big lessons learned from your experience in all this?
You know, in 2008, we started planning a presidential transition. I think the first conversation I ever had with Senator Obama about this was in April of 2008. And so, you know, 6.5 months before Election Day, we had started planning, and we really were planning in earnest at the beginning of the summer. So the first lesson is start planning early, and I know that both the Clinton and the Trump folks are doing that. The second lesson I would take away is that expect the unexpected. No matter how much planning you do, something will happen that will upend your expectations, and it could be a nomination for a position where the nomination doesn't go well and you need to find somebody else. That happens historically many, many times during the early stages of an administration. It could be a shift in policy priorities. Going back to 2008, you know, you may recall that we, you know, as the fall of 2008 is going along, we're in the middle of a worsening financial crisis, housing crisis. And so, you know, we had wonderful policy papers on a whole range of different policies, but our highest priority by Election Day and by Inauguration Day was helping get the economy back on track. And so your priorities will shift depending on what is happening nationally or even internationally. And I think the other takeaway from 2008-2009 is really get to know the career leaders in the federal agencies. You know, 2009, 3 weeks after President Obama was inaugurated, Congress passed the American Recovery and Reinvestment Act, the $800 billion stimulus package, and we needed to get that $800 billion out the door as fast as possible in order to jumpstart the economy to avoid a Great Depression. In most federal agencies at the time, there was a confirmed secretary and there were a handful of political appointees surrounding that secretary, but there weren't a lot of other people. There weren't a lot of confirmed assistant secretaries, deputy secretaries. And so the mission of the job of getting that $800 billion out the door really fell upon career leaders who knew how these programs worked, who knew the best places to put the money, who knew how to implement the law and ensure that we were creating jobs and helping people get back to work. And the success of the American Recovery and Reinvestment Act would not have been possible without the dedication of the career leadership. And I think it was a valuable lesson to all of us that if you simply rely on political appointees to advance your policy agenda, your policy priorities, you're missing an important tool in career leaders.
Before we wrap things up, is there any point you'd like to bring up that we didn't think to mention earlier?
No, I'd simply say this is that it is heartening that transition planning is happening, that it's out in the open. You know, for far too long, campaigns were planning for transitions but weren't able to say that they were doing that. There was always a sense that, you know, that whatever the expression is, you're measuring drapes or you're spiking the football before you score. And so there was something sort of unseemly. And so in 2008, by and large, we needed to plan a transition undercover without a lot of public scrutiny. And we did well. By all accounts, we had one of the smoothest transitions in history. But when you are taking over control of the largest and most powerful organization in the world, it makes a lot of sense to do it out in the open, to try to bring in the best possible people. And I'm glad that these two pieces of legislation that were passed in 2010, 2016 have brought transition planning out into the open, because that's a good thing. I think the other point I'd say is that the success of our transition in 2008 was in large part the result of the incredible collaboration that we had with the outgoing Bush administration. In 2007, then White House Chief of Staff Josh Bolton issued a directive to the entire White House staff pledging President Bush's cooperation to a smooth transition, regardless of who the winning candidate was. And you know, I worked very closely with Josh Bolton and his deputies to ensure a smooth transition in government. And President Obama has been very vocal in his appreciation to President Bush for that cooperation and has pledged his cooperation to the next president, regardless of who that party is. And I can say that in terms of the efforts that we in the Obama administration are making, we're going to make good on the president's promise for full cooperation.
Chris Liu is Deputy Labor Secretary, speaking with Federal News Radio's Jory Heckman. Read Jory's story online and share this interview with colleagues at federalnewsradio.com/federaldrive and click Share with Friends.